The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast every weeknight, Monday through Friday, that is, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Folks, go to HagmanandHagman.com. There you can navigate to our various websites, HagmanandHagman.com, for our show information and YouTube presentations. HagmanReport.com for news, information, articles, and analysis. Northeast Intelligence Network, formerly Northeast Intelligence Network, now my little corner on the internet, that's HomelandSecurityUS.com. And of course, the book site, which will be back up, the book will be back made available here by tomorrow, Stained by Blood. I jumped the gun and made a mistake, but it'll be back up tomorrow at Amazon, and that's stainedbyblood.com. But anyway, folks,
we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking with prophecy expert, friend of the show, former guest many times, Paul McGuire, to talk about the latest series of terrorist attacks in Europe and these prophetic implications that are carried with these attacks. And yesterday I sent Paul a message. I said, hey, do you have any preference on the show title? How would you like a title? And he responded, Belgium Terror, Prophetic Warning of Terror Attacks in America. And I went, and folks, you can go to Paul McGuire on Paul McGuire's YouTube channel and watch his latest video updates. Paul, I did take today and took an hour and 14 minutes, I think it was, and watched your email on the breakdown of the Belgian terror attacks. And It was great, wasn't it?
I mean, yes. It was great. Before we get started, folks, I want to remind everyone, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, visit WholeTonesLive.com. There you can treat yourself to samples of the music, really, the music of King David. If you're overworked, stressed, or you feel overwhelmed or unmotivated, if that's you, well, you're not alone. And Whole Tones Live provides an answer for you through the proven powers of music therapy. More on that later. And as you were saying, Joe, Paul did a fantastic job with a breakdown with the, I mean, Paul, in fact, I don't want to use the word prophesized, but Paul had mentioned very much about this happening, this taking place, these attacks attacks like this taking place. Also, before we get to our guest, want to remind people as well, portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. That's nuts.com. There, visit nuts.com in the microphone box, put HH for a very special offer. Again, more on that later. Without any further ado, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, we have with us Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is the website. His newest book to be coming out shortly is A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And I'm going to bring Paul on. We're going to talk about the 20% off for the Hear the Watchman deal, as well as other specials that are going on. Paul, it was great to see you this last weekend. I know it was short as you had other commitments, two conferences you had to do over the weekend, which I don't know how you do it with the traveling there. It took everything out of us and our family to travel just back home. But for you to go on and give such a powerful presentation, go on to the next conference.
You'd be the man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, it was great being at the conference in Dallas, and it was great seeing you guys, and the whole conference here, the Watchman conference, was really incredible. To meet all those people face to face, and I would say the vast majority of them, if not all of them, were regular listeners to the Hagman and Hagman Report program. So to meet these people face to face, you know, was really an honor. And because when you do radio, as you guys do, you know, you're talking kind of like to, you don't get to see all the people. So we all got to see the people, and then it was really a blessing to see that when you guys walked up to the stage and they played the theme song from your show, just the really powerful response from the audience. That, I mean, you know, it was very touching. The audience really loves you guys, and just you know, to see that visually, it was a blessing. Plus to meet all the other speakers. I've been with many of them at other conferences, but a lot of them, this is the first time I got to meet them face to face. So, and you know, they're guests on your program. So that it was a tremendous conference, absolutely tremendous. I mean, it was really unique. I think it was historic, and most of all, I think that God really raised up the conference. We're all thankful to Mike and Jeannie for putting it on. And God raised up the conference, and the Lord spoke through the speakers. I think the Lord had a powerful message to speak to the people, and I believe he did that. And that's the most important thing. And all I know is, you know, I was the kickoff speaker, but as I was sharing this to my wife, I said, you know, when you're a speaker like I am, I mean me. When I'm up there and I'm about to deliver a message, I can always tell whether there have been large numbers of people praying and interceding for the conference. Because what happens is the power of God begins to move and come down upon the place, and it did. But I am very acutely aware of the fact that when the presence of the Lord shows up in a meeting like that in an unusual way, it's because countless numbers of people were praying. So I'm stepping into something that I'm brutally aware of that I did not create, and that was the power of God that was just filling that place. I called it a sanctuary, even though it was a hotel, because God was his presence was all over the place. And That's not because of me, the speaker, or any other individual speaker. It's because all the people that were praying. Whereas conversely, you can go to another environment or speak somewhere else, and I'm not talking about the conference that I went to afterwards, but I've been to places over the years where nobody has prayed, and it's like pulling teeth. This is long-winded, but just God was really there among the people. And I want to remind people that they can get the DVD collection if they were unable to attend the conference, or if they didn't sign up for the live streaming. They can get the 10-set DVD collection, and there's a special going on if they get it now. I'm including a 20% discount coupon on my brand new book coming out called A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. So they get that discount coupon for my book sent to them. Plus there's a discount if they order the 10 DVD set collection of the conference now. And they can get information on how to do that. The simplest way is to go to your website, or they can go to my website where I have a link, and they can read the details of the special. But if people didn't get a chance to actually physically come to the conference, then I would encourage them to get the 10 DVD set and watch, because there were a lot of important messages, and it was an historic occasion. So I thank God that I was there, and it was tremendous. I mean, it was really, really tremendous. I just can't go on enough about it, because I've spoken at countless conferences, and this was very unique and very special. So I was thankful that I was there, as I'm sure you guys were.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paul, I got a question. I'm not too familiar with this, but with any conference that you've done before that have put out DVDs after the fact, how well do the speakers translate on the DVDs versus the live presentation?
Well, the DVD is the second best thing to being there physically. Obviously, being there physically is the optimum, because you're there in the immediacy of what's happening. But the DVDs are very, very powerful. I mean, because I believe it's a biblically accurate theological term that when speakers pray before they speak, and I assume all the speakers prayed before they spoke, and you have all these people praying for the conference, then I believe God pours out His Holy Spirit and anoints the speakers. And so that anointing on the speakers and the Holy Spirit speaking through the speakers, that comes across when you watch the DVD. So you receive the same message that the people that physically attended the conference did. So it's very powerful, and it's very important. And the nice thing about getting the DVDs is you can, you know, invite people over to watch them and stuff. And we got reports from all kinds of people that had invited people into their homes to watch the conference, and God moved. People got saved from watching the conference. People got returned to the Lord. We got reports of all kinds of evangelistic things happening, and people returning to the Lord, and people accepting the Lord. And so it's important for people to watch those DVDs, because they can invite people over to their house and expose them to that. And that's so, yeah, so again, a long-winded answer, but yes, it carries over, and I think people will be greatly blessed by watching that and getting the DVDs.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, we've been a part of a few conferences, and the DVDs are always awesome to have, especially the one we went to in Montana, the Whitestone Conference. We have that video, or we have that DVD of that conference, and I sat there live for every speaker through the whole conference, but there were things that I missed when watching the DVD that were, I was glad that I had it. Let's jump right into the issue tonight, the main issue that we're going to get into and want to talk about. The Belgium terror attacks that happened, as well as, you know, the one at the airport, one or two bombs at the airport, plus the subway. You have broken this down, and you put together a fantastic video presentation on YouTube. And if you can, kind of lead off with that, what you said on your YouTube video a little bit, because it has implications to each and every Christian here in America as well.
Well, the first thing that happened, you know, I was the kickoff speaker at the Dallas conference, and then I had to leave the following morning to fly far away to another state to speak four times at another conference. And so, like, I was burned out when I came back to L.A. And then I guess I'm losing my time frame here, but as I recall, I woke up exhausted from the trip, but I'm finishing up this book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, and so I got up really, really early in the morning, and I have been to write. And then when I got up really early in the morning, I had turned on the television to watch the news, and I saw, you know, the footage of the attack in Brussels at the airport near the American Airlines terminal and another Delta terminal. And then, of course, reports came in that there was an attack near I believe it was a Starbucks. So that, to me, obviously was a signal by the terrorists. I don't think they chose the locations accidentally. I think it was a message to America. I think it was designed to strike Europe, but it was also a message to America, because American companies were the proximity of at least two of the places where the attacks occurred. And, you know, at one hand, early in the morning, as I'm writing the book, and at the same time I put down the book and I'm glued to the TV screen, on one hand I'm not surprised that it happened. I don't want to sound callous. But on the other hand, it's always horrifying to see this stuff go off. You know, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And but immediately, I just felt immediately as I'm watching it, you know, this is coming to America soon. And, you know, most likely plans are already underway because the terrorist groups, ISIS, they're escalating their attacks in Europe, and of course America is, you know, probably their prime target, and so the attacks are coming to America soon, and this is what at least our intelligence people are telling us, but common sense tells you that. So I was just like gripped with concern, because the first thing I said to myself when I turned it on is that it's coming here. I mean, you know, you can just feel it. And so then as I'm processing the thoughts that it's coming here, and that this is to anybody who's spiritually discerning, that anybody who has any either common sense or ability to have logic or reason, or any ability to hear the Lord or to perceive the Lord, it's obviously a warning for what's coming to America. That sense of heaviness came upon me immediately, and I'm struggling through the final part of writing this book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, which, you know, is available for pre-order in the thing with the DVDs, but I'm struggling through that, and this is one of the central messages in the book that I was writing when I turned on the TV, and that is, when I said it's coming here, the other thing that I immediately sensed was that God doesn't want it to come here, and that God would like to spare our nation. In other words, it's not a fait accompli, that it has to happen. And that, and this tied into the message I gave at the conference in Dallas, was that it's happening in Europe, it's going to come here, but see, then we don't go into like a fatalistic mode. We what God's people do in terms of praying, repenting, and seeking His face and asking God for His supernatural protection for our nation and His supernatural intervention, and asking Him to uncover terrorist plots, etc. So what is supposed to happen when God's people see this, obviously a prophetic warning to the United States of great danger, what is supposed to happen is God's people are supposed to go into a spiritual state of emergency, if you will, and that's what I recorded in the YouTube, and of course the YouTube is free. Anybody who wants to watch it, it's an hour and 14 minutes. It's a message that you have on your website. I have at my website, paulmcguire.us. But the key is, what is supposed to happen is that God's people 24/7 are supposed to declare a spiritual state of emergency and to begin fasting and praying and repenting and seeking the Lord immediately, because evil is coming our way very quickly, and if we don't cry out to God, if we don't intercede, if we don't repent, and I'm talking about 24/7, I'm talking about declaring a spiritual state of emergency, then God, if we please the Lord in our prayers and we cry out to Him, God can supernaturally intervene and soften, lessen, block, prevent, have terrorists apprehended. So disaster doesn't necessarily have to strike in all its fullness in the United States, conditionally, if God's people will really seek His face. Now, what has bothered me, haunted me, since 9/11 has been, we all remember what happened in 9/11. There was a sobriety among the American people that lasted about 3 months or so. A lot of people started going back to church. I remember here in L.A., people were like, very days after the terrorist attack in 9/11, people were very polite on the freeways. They were very courteous. People were very courteous to each other in the supermarkets and stuff, which is not the norm in L.A. They're normally rude and cutting in front of each other. People were very respectful. They were very humble. They were introspective. A lot of people were going back to church. The churches, people were praying, and this sense of spiritual sobriety and thankfulness to God lasted, as we all know, about 3 or 4 months at the most, and then people went back to business as usual, partying and forgetting all about God. And so here again we have another strike, which is an indicator of what is going to happen to America, and you do not see what should be happening, which is this Christian leaders, pastors, churches, and individual Christians heeding the urgency of what is clearly a prophetic warning to God's people in America. It's a call to prayer. And you see a remnant and isolated groups praying for God's protection, but you see what I said in the YouTube message. You see the biggest sin of all, which you don't hear this sin mentioned in churches and among Christians, and I called it the denial of reality. When you deny reality, that is a sin before the Lord, because to deny reality, and when I say denying reality, denying the reality of the fact that the terrorist attacks are going to happen in America, that's a reality. When we deny that reality, what we're doing is we're rejecting truth and we're embracing a lie. So when the church or Christians deny reality, they look at the terrorist attacks in Brussels, which were brutal, they are frightened, and then they go into a state of denial about the fact that it's going to happen here. They make believe it's not going to happen here, and then they go on with their ordinary lives and what I call playing church. So they deny reality and remain in kind of like a fantasy world where they think everything's going to be okay because they deny reality. What they should be doing is acknowledging reality, embracing reality, and reality is saying you're going to have terrorist attacks here. You better get on your face before God and pray and ask God to supernaturally intervene so that children, men, and women don't have to be blown to bits. But it's going to require that you accept reality and really begin to pray seriously, urgently, 24/7. Churches in America, all across America, there should be 25,000, 100,000, 500,000 churches or whatever, opening their doors 24/7 for emergency prayer and intercession meetings, crying out to God for His supernatural protection. But we don't see that. What we see is American Christians and the church at large seeing the disaster and horrors of Brussels, knowing that it's going to happen here, or at least they should know it's going to happen here. And by the way, the plans of these guys were to target a nuclear power plant. And if that had happened, all hell would have broken loose in Europe. So it's going to happen here, and the church across the board should be blowing the trumpet. People should be fasting and praying and crying out to God like the Pilgrims and Puritans did, and really taking this warning seriously. Because look, it's going to happen here. It's mathematically 100%. We're going to wake up and people are going to be blown to bits here in America. I don't know when and how, but it's going to happen. And God wants us to heed the warning from Brussels, and He wants to spare us this. But unless we pray and ask for His supernatural protection, then there is no restraint on this force of evil. So first there has to be the repentance of the denial of reality. And as I said in the YouTube, probably the biggest illustration I could think of historically about the denial of reality is what happened in Nazi Germany. And we all remember the historical statement that the Jews and others made in Germany. They all said repeatedly in Germany, while Hitler was taking over and doing his horrible things in the Holocaust, everybody kept saying over and over again publicly, it can't happen here, it can't happen here. While the Holocaust was going on, they were denying that it was going on. And they said that the Holocaust didn't exist. They said the Holocaust, it's not true. Those were just rumors and paranoia. So they denied reality by saying it can't happen here. And then monstrous things occurred in Germany. Now, here in America, we're doing the exact same thing. It's this denial of reality that allows all kinds of evil to flourish. We're kind of saying it can't happen here, and we're kind of entering a state of make-believe. Because if we really did believe that a threat was imminent in the United States of America, and it is, by the way, not only would we be seeking God 24/7 in prayer, but we would be on the job and demanding that our elected representatives from both parties get off their posteriors and immediately stop the infusion of potential Islamic terrorists from pouring through our open borders. Because the reality is that the reason this is happening in Brussels and France and Europe is they have allowed for many years now, they have opened the doors to a massive tide of immigration from Muslim nations. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists, but they have welcomed so many Muslims from militant Islamic nations, and now all these Syrian immigrants that they have, there's a certain percentage, again, not all Muslims are terrorists, but there's a certain percentage which are either terrorists or sympathetic to terrorist organizations. They've allowed the enemy in the gates, so it shouldn't surprise you that the bombs are going off. But we're doing the same thing here in the United States, and everybody's complacent. The church isn't praying, and if that continues, we all know that if that continues, any day we can turn on the TV and there will be a terrorist attack on the United States, and it may well be worse than 9-1-1. And I, you know, if that scares people, I'm sorry, but they need a reality check. They need a bucket of cold ice water thrown in their face. They need to get real and stop playing church. I turn on Christian television and I want to vomit because I see this nonsensical preaching that has nothing to do with anything of reality. I see people going to church. Yeah, it's Easter. I'm very thankful that Easter is coming. Okay, I'm very thankful for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I intend to honor the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you have to apply the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the reality in which you live in, and all hell may break loose very soon in America unless we wake up fast. And when I say wake up fast, that means Christians, because we're the only ones that can seek God and ask for his intervention. And if we don't ask for his intervention, if we simply trust in our human strength and ability, we're going to get hit hard. And I pray that we don't get hit harder than Brussels, and I pray that we don't get hit harder than 911.
You know what? Let me ask you a couple of questions, Paul, because you and folks, if you have not read Paul's previous book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, please do so. I mean, and I know that your new book, Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, is coming out, the expanded version. Order that book, Mass Awakening. Every book that you've written has been, I mean, right on target geopolitically and domestically, all of this. But my question to you, I've got like a bunch, but let me start out by asking you this, and this might be, the questions might be out of order. We know that there will be a terrorist attack on the scale of Brussels or greater here in this country. And you said it yourself. It's a mathematical certainty. My question, immediate question upon hearing that, what do you think is going to be the response? Now, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but given the climate in America today, what do you think would be the response by Americans if that would happen, we'll say at JFK, or elsewhere, anywhere else?
Well, that is a very, very important question. I mean, that is a really, I couldn't think of a more important question because this is a place people don't want to go to in their minds because they don't want to face reality, which again is the sin of denying reality. Denying reality is a sin. People are all upset about people that smoke and curse and stuff like that, and you know, they're always upset by superficial sins, and they don't understand that it's not that God is pleased with superficial sins, but what God is really concerned about is the deep core sins. People always get hung up on the superficials, and your question demands that you look at the deep issue. And the deep issue is this: if we wake up in the morning and we get a significant terrorist attack, and what happened in San Bernardino, by the way, was very minor. I mean, it's not minor for the people who lost their loved ones. It certainly wasn't minor. But that is very minor compared to what could happen. If we wake up, and we will, by the way, and there is a significant terrorist attack, the environment that the social and spiritual and other environments that we live in now. I was thinking about this earlier today as I was praying for the program, and I always pray before I write the book. I agonize in prayer when I write these books because I don't want it just to be coming out of my human imagination. But I was, in the middle of the night, I was thinking about if another terrorist attack hit the United States of America. And it's very interesting that you would ask me the question the way you asked it. But in the middle of the night, and it was last night, I was thinking about the very thing you just asked me. And this picture came to my mind of the United States essentially being on a sea of glass, like glass, like the entire American society and every system of our society and all the people is built on glass. And this is what I was thinking of. This picture dropped into my mind last night in the middle of the night as I was thinking about a terrorist attack on the United States. And if there is a terrorist attack on the United States, glass can be a strong substance. We all know that. But if it is struck hard and quickly, it shatters violently. And it, you know, everybody's seen automobile windshield, you know, take the impact of glass and the cracking and everything, or the spirals go everywhere. So our entire society is built on the fragility of glass, and if we were to get struck by a terrorist attack, our economic, our social foundations, and all the other foundations may very well crack and splinter like glass. So there's an impact point. Let's say the terrorist attack occurs on the East Coast or the West Coast. There's an impact point, but then the glass shatters and it spreads everywhere. Now, this is very weird, and people are going to think I'm crazy and I'm super spiritual for saying this, but it just came to me. And people are going to probably think, you know, it begs being credible, but I'll say it anyway. About 6 months ago, I was in my backyard where we have had a glass tabletop. It was all glass. And I was careless in moving it. I think I was going to throw it away or something. I was careless in moving it, and it was thick glass, and it had the diameter of about 3 feet, and it was heavy. And it just jarred against something cement, and it caused that glass to shatter. And that glass tabletop, which was about an inch thick of solid glass, shattered into what looked like a billion pieces of sharp glass. So the impact caused that glass to shatter all over the place, and it took forever to clean it up. And as this happened, I was asking myself, not super spiritual or anything. I was just wondering before the Lord. I said to the Lord, "Are you trying to tell me something?" And I don't, you know, not everything that happens to me, I don't ask the Lord. I said, "I don't ask the Lord, are you trying to tell me something?" But in this particular case, I did. I said, "Lord, are you trying to warn me about something?" Okay, and I couldn't think of anything that he was trying to warn me about. And but I had the sense that perhaps he was, and I had forgotten about it. This was a number of months ago. And I'd completely forgotten about it until just this second when you asked me that question, and I related, and then I began to think about this picture that dropped into my mind last night. And then for the first time in many, many months, I thought about of what happened when that glass broke, and I asked the Lord the question, were you trying to tell me something or warn me? And again, I forgot about it, but when you asked me the question, the two things came together. The picture that I had in the middle of the night and my recollection of the glass shattering. And I would say that they're both applicable to American society. If we have a terrorist attack, it shatters. We live in what appears to be a strong foundation of a society, but in reality, it's like glass. And it can shatter into a billion pieces. And when that glass shattered in my backyard, it was very dangerous because it wasn't safety glass. All the glass pieces were like knives. And so if we have a terrorist attack, we don't have the cultural climate of, let's say, 30 or 50 years ago, when people had a common Judeo-Christian belief system of honesty and integrity and loving thy neighbor as thyself. We live in a very, very unstable cultural, social environment in the United States in which there are various parties attempting to stir up racial tension, political divisions, social tension of every kind. Our society is at each other's throats on every level. So if there's a terrorist attack and there's a disruption, all hell could break loose. There could be demonstrations, there could be violence, there could be disruption of traffic, there could be runs on food stores. I mean, all hell could break loose, and people need to understand that, the fragility of our society right now. We see this in some of the political rallies and what goes on outside of the political rallies. All hell could break loose. So if we have a terrorist attack, and then we have in the external society all hell breaking loose, or chaos and riots and violence, then there is an inevitable consequence, which is we have a militarized police patrolling the cities to stop the violence, and it potentially could escalate into a situation of martial law where a state of emergency is declared, and we are ruled by a military to stop the chaos. Now, and that's because our society is so explosive. The tensions are just very, very. So we live in a very, Doug, what you asked, and I knew you knew a lot of the answer before you asked me. We live in this society that's ready to rupture and explode. So that is the consequences of what could happen if there were a series of terrorist attacks, or there was to be a major terrorist attack. Now, the question is, can we prevent that? What can we do as Christians to prevent that? And I'll say two things, or forgive me for interrupting if you want to.
I'm just saying,
get out of the way.
We can prevent that, and we need to prevent that. That's all I wanted to say. But yes, I truly believe that, which kind of goes into my other question as well. Why, for example, haven't we had a terrorist attack like Brussels here in the United States? Because it certainly can't be the effectiveness of the TSA when they, you know, allow 73 terrorists to work, inside. It's not the effectiveness of our security apparatus. So that brings me to things like, who's controlling what? But I'm going to get out of your way now, and you go ahead and take it.
Well, whatever, there's multiple things going on on multiple levels, et cetera. But the thing is, if there is a terrorist attack, then there's the very real possibility of some kind of mass chaos or social disorder, and which would require militarization to restore order, and then there's a loss of freedoms. So the chaos brings that. So that's why we're in a very fragile situation, and there's the heightened danger. There's the danger of the whatever happens during a terrorist attack, and then there's the even more dangerous danger of how a terrorist attack or a series of terrorist attacks affects the social economic environment of the nation, because like the glass I was describing, which shattered and it spreads very quickly. When glass shatters, the cracks just go across large surfaces. So if there's a terrorist attack in several locations or one location, it can cause a fracturing or shattering of the glass of society, from the East Coast to the West Coast or whatever, and cause all kinds of disruption. So that is really the greater danger than the consequences or the impact of the terrorist attack is actually far more dangerous than the terrorist attack. So going back to that, we have to ask ourselves about the denial of reality. And if we're going to continue to deny reality, which begins with denying the fact that we will have a terrorist attack here, and then if we deny reality by pretending or entering a self-permitted state of make-believe where we pretend by creating a lie, we pretend that there won't be any external impact to a terrorist attack. We pretend that it will not disrupt our society on every level. We pretend that things will continue to go on as they always do, and we pretend that things will stay normal after a series of heightened terrorist attacks in the United States. That's not true. It will disrupt every aspect of our life because we're in a highly fragile situation. This election exposes the fragility and the tensions that are boiling beneath the surface in American society right now. All kinds of things are coming through this election in terms of the frustration of the American people and the frustration of different groups in American society. So we're in a volatile, explosive situation. So it's like walking into a room filled with gasoline cans filled with gasoline that are leaking, and it's like lighting up a cigarette and throwing the match down on the ground. You're liable to blow that place to kingdom come. So that's America right now. So having said that, the acknowledgement of reality, which is the acknowledgement of truth, and Christians are supposed to be living in a state of truth, not in a state of a lie, which is a denial of reality. So a state of truth requires that we understand what you just outlined, which are the obvious consequences of a terrorist attack on a national level. So then what is our response after we accept reality? Our response is to accept ownership and to fully understand that God has placed us here for such a time as this to make a difference and to temper whatever impact occurs. So if there's a strike or the shattering effect after a strike, this is a call to God's people to not wait until afterwards when they're... You see, God is offering a choice to his people, and God is offering a choice to every single one of your listeners. They can go to God now and humble themselves and cry out to God now, voluntarily, and they can, the churches and the pastors can open their churches now, voluntarily, 24/7, for prayer and repentance for our nation. They can do it voluntarily, or they can wait till after calamity or disaster hits, and they will be driven to their knees, and the churches will be driven to their knees by the horrific impact of a terrorist attack. One way or another, God is saying, you're going to go down on your knees and cry out to me. You can do it voluntarily. That's what I would prefer you to do, and I would prefer to supernaturally intervene. That's what God is saying. But if you choose not to, you will be driven to your knees by the pressure of and the impact of the attacks. One way or another, you're going to go to your knees. So God would prefer that God's people pray and intercede and get involved and act as a buffer to the impact that could happen to our society, and never underestimate the power, never underestimate the enormous power that can be released through people who are really crying out to God in the face of God. So if we do it now, then we have the opportunity to release the power of God on our nation and to release the power of God on the people, to pray for law enforcement, to pray for our leaders. And if we do that, you see, then God, because God works in partnership with us, God doesn't work independently from us unless he chooses to. Most often, God works in partnership with us. So if we are in deep prayer, intercessory prayer, then God tempers the decisions of our leaders. He can cause them to move this way or that way. We can see God's supernatural intervention. We can see God's divine protection over our nation before the calamity happens. And so I really believe that, I believe this with all my heart, and I was writing it in my book, A Prophecy of America, 2016-2017, and it's part of what I said at the Dallas conference. I believe with all my heart, I don't want to overstate it, but I believe with all my heart that God is calling all of his people to obey, and I said this in the YouTube, that God is calling all of his people to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we know the Holy Spirit is God. God is calling all of his people to respond in obedience and to begin to seek his face, to repent over the sins of our nation, our own sins, to cry out to him for mercy, deliverance, protection, to pray for all those in authority above us, to intercede, which means to pray for others, to pray for our elected officials, to stand in the gap. I believe that God is commanding, not asking, I believe God is commanding his people to come into a place of obedience and to pray and to cry out to him. And if God's people will respond in obedience to his command, this is not a request, this is a command being made by God for our own good. If we will obey the Lord and begin to pray and intercede and be the people we're supposed to be and not play church, we can see God supernaturally intervene, supernaturally rescue, run interference, and really America is in the hands of God. So right now, because we have not done that, America is in the hands of man. And what that means, when America is in the hands of man, that means it's like our entire society of America is on a foundation of glass ready to shatter, because that's what being in the hands of man means. It's having an entire nation on a glass platform that can shatter at any moment. But if we would obey the command of the Lord and cry out to him now before disaster strikes, then we transfer the foundation of our society out of the hands of man, which is the glass foundation, and by praying and crying out to God, we release God to become the foundation of our society, so our society, to whatever degree, is now in the hands of God. And in the hands of God, our society has the opportunity for supernatural protection and divine intervention. That's how serious it is. And anybody who's preaching sermons and giving messages from a pulpit, or Christians or prayer groups or meetings or discussions or prayer meetings or home groups or whatever, anybody who's talking and does not acknowledge rationally and coherently the threat level and how dangerous it is right now, and does not take whatever leadership position they have and to obey the Lord by initiating the level of prayer that God is commanding his people to do, whoever those people are, they are accountable to God for disobeying and ignoring the voice of the Lord. Because I believe very, very strongly the Lord is speaking quite clearly to America right now. And we either obey his voice or we suppress his voice. And suppressing his voice, by the way, again, is the denial of reality.
Absolutely. One of the biblical examples is that of Jonah going to Nineveh, telling the city to repent, and the Lord withholding his judgment. And obviously Jonah, not wanting to carry out the mission for the Lord, tried to run and hide, and caused a lot of trouble for the ship he escaped onto, ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days, being put to Nineveh where the Lord needed him to give the message. And Nineveh repented, and it saved them, 100 years of judgment?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, we're not talking about secular people here. We're not talking about even the lukewarm Christians. We're talking about God's people united
right.
in like mind. It doesn't have to be a countrywide effort. It has to be a remnant-wide effort.
Right. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not going to be the majority of Christians. They're not going to heed the call, and they're not going to obey the call. And it won't even be a majority. It will be, as you said, Joe, it will be a remnant. It will be a minority of Christians. But as you said, if that remnant, if that minority of Christians who hear the voice of God and choose to obey it, will do what you always talk about, Doug, man their positions and begin to pray and intercede seriously and cry out to God. It only takes a remnant. It only takes a dedicated minority spiritually to release the power of God over our nation. And it's not the will of God. You know, there's a lot of people whose theology is bent and distorted by their own finite human opinions. And so they bend, they pretend to be God in their analysis. It is not the will of God that horrific harm happens to our nation, because there's people that would rise up and say, oh, you know, America is worthy of the judgment of God. Well, you know, get off your high horse and quit playing God. God's the judge, not you. The very fact that we have the conversation and the very fact that God has given us the opportunity, and the very fact that God is commanding his people to pray before something happens, is in of itself evidence of God's desire, which is that it is the desire of God for the sake of his remnant. It's the desire of God to supernaturally protect and rescue his children because he loves them, just like he rescued the children of Israel. Whenever the children of Israel sought the face of God in the Old Testament, God rescued them. And so if God's people in America will seek the face of God, God will intervene. But if God's people are stiff-necked, they will go into captivity. I mean, this is these are biblical principles that recycle throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And God, you know, doesn't change. So if we're going to be stiff-necked and harden our heart and pretend that God... See, right now, there's a collective denial and lie going on. And the collective denial and lie is the denial of reality, where people know in their spirits and in their minds that danger is at hand, but they pretend that everything's okay. Well, you're rejecting the truth and you're embracing the lie, and there can be horrible consequences to that. And it's not God's desire, just like it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because it's not the will of God that anyone should perish. That's why he sent Jesus. See, it's not the will of God that anyone should perish. But even more so, regarding his remnant, people that God loves, those are God's children. He delights and loves his people enormously. You know, God loves his people enormously. Even if they're imperfect, he loves them enormously. And it is the desire of God, like a good, loving, heavenly father, to deliver and to protect his people. But because he operates within his own laws, all he asks is that his own people hear his voice, cry out to him for help, and pray, and then God will step in. So, you know, it's not the desire of God for destruction and chaos and horror to break loose. Remember that in these historical examples that I have given, like what happened in Nazi Germany and what happened in Russia, etc. And I can hear what people think. They say, well, you know, God, there's revival breaking out all over communist China because of the persecution of the communist Chinese government, so let's welcome it. Well, there's a fatal flaw in that kind of theological analysis by comparing America with China. And here's the fatal flaw. And this is what happens when you're lazy with your thinking. Lazy thinking is you don't do your homework. You don't really think through properly what you've said, and you don't analyze it and integrate it in light of what the Scripture really teaches. So people will say, well, you know, look at communist China. God, you know, the church never grew more than when it is being persecuted. Well, the problem with comparing the destiny of America with the experience of China and Russia and Nazi Germany is this. America was founded largely as a Christian. Yeah.
Can you hold that thought? We are up against the top of the hour break. Yeah. Folks, we'll be back with Paul McGuire, his website, paulmcguire.us. His upcoming book, you can get pre-order, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. He'll be with us for the rest of the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.